Hello and welcome back to the Just Hoops podcast. We finally have the both of us together after Jacob's month-long hiatus through the month of March with college basketball. He didn't want to talk to me, didn't want to record a podcast with me, didn't want to watch the NBA. He was too busy out there gambling in Vegas. So we're finally back with the both of us. And yeah. Before I even like introduce what we're going to be doing, how was your month of March?
It was busy. It was awesome at the same time. Started off with a beatdown on senior day from Pittsburgh, and then we were able to put together like a really fun run through half of the ACC tournament. Lost an overtime game to Virginia, and then we won our first NIT game at Providence, and then lost a tough one at UNLV. But it was a fun March. It was fun to be a part of, for sure.
That's lovely. Lovely.
Wasn't able to watch as much NBA as I would like.
Yeah, no. So I know you did listen to my last podcast.
I did.
My lovely, lovely solo podcast that
you couldn't do another one though.
I couldn't do another one because Synergy didn't want to work on me. So I actually was only able to watch two games of the team we will be talking about today. But I have been able to watch – I watched the start of there because they started this winning streak, I believe, against the Suns. So without further ado, let's introduce the team of the day, which is currently the hottest team in the NBA, coming out of nowhere – from not even being into playoff contention. Like, honestly, they really weren't in playoff contention a few weeks ago. To now being... No, they're not. That was not... They didn't start against the Suns. Sorry. But now they are... What's it? One game behind the Golden State Warriors. So with one more Houston Rockets win and a Golden State Warriors loss, they will be in the playoff. I believe they do have the tiebreaker with the Golden State Warriors, so that's pretty scary for Golden State. I think they do. I believe they do.
That's nuts, actually.
Mm-hmm. So the Houston Rockets currently on a 9-game winning streak. They are 11-1 in their 11-1 in their last 12, 11-1 in the month of March, and yeah, they're on quite the heater right now. They are, I'm just going to throw out some stats over their last nine. They have been off the second offensive rating behind. Did you look that up? Offensive rating? They're second at 123. The Celtics over the last nine are a 130.5 or something. 132.5.
Really?
They're like 10 points above the Rockets. I saw that. I was like, whoa, because I thought they were first. I wrote down first.
If you take out garbage time with cleaning the glass, they got the Celtics at 1 with a 130.2 and Houston at 2 with a 129.3. So it's only a point difference, but
yeah,
if you take out garbage time, it's a little bit better.
Yeah. But they have the sixth defensive rating over the last nine with a 108.7. That gives them the second net rating behind the Celtics at 14.3. Their pace was one thing that really stuck out to me, which I'll talk about a little bit more when we get into it. But they have the fifth pace over the last nine at a 100.6. They are another interesting one for me was their true shooting percentage is a 61.8%. They're shooting 38% from three over the last nine and not turning the ball over much. They have the fifth best turnover with 11.3, getting 8.1 steals per game, which is eighth, and 5.7 blocks, which is 10th. So they're top 10 in a lot of these categories. They're just kind of – they've been dominant over the last basically a month now, really going back to the start of the month. They're making this run, which could lead to them being in the playoffs possibly, even though this West play-in is going to be insane. There's going to be probably three teams in there that all have thought they would be contenders to start the year. and now they'd be in the play-in. The West is just crazy. We could talk about that a little bit more at the end, but yeah. Where do you want to start?
I want to start with.
Caught you at a bad point.
I'm snacking over here. I want to. Could we start with our boy Jalen Green?
I have his stats right here. I didn't know if you wanted to
Pull
start
it
there,
up
but
because I'm very impressed with the kid.
he is over their last 9 games, he's averaging 29 points per game, shooting 50% from the field, 43.7% from three, getting 6 rebounds a game, 3.6 assists, only 1.9 turnovers per game, and an average of 15.9 plus minus per game. So he's been a very big plus for them. He's kind of, from what I saw, he's simplifying his game more, and he's making those tough shots that he takes still. Like, he's just
That's
making them. Like,
the
he's
thing though.
like
Like, he's
the
finding
start
the
of
balance
that.
of when to take them and when not to take them.
Yeah, the start of that Utah game, he didn't shoot them right away, though. That's the thing. He's not like just coming out first possession pulling a 30 footer. He's at least letting the game come to him. I think his first shot in that game, if I'm not mistaken, was a alley-oop on a fast break, which kind of also ties into why he's doing so well. They're getting out and running a lot more, but they're getting stops, but they're
He's a
getting
big part of them running, though, because he wants to play up and down.
them in the open floor is very hard to stop with their athleticism and speed. So, but I think that a lot of his points are coming from there. And then also he's shooting 43.7% from three over their last 9 games. So let me see quick. I don't know how many he's taking a game exactly. He's shooting 9 threes a game, so almost 10 threes a game. So very, very high volume, which I kind of figured, but he's making his tough shots now. But also letting the game come to him, it kind of feels like he's starting, not only him though, but also Jabari Smith and even Amen Thompson a little bit. They're kind of figuring out their roles a little bit more, and kind of the game's starting to click now for them. The young guys a little bit more. There's a few other guys I want to talk about coming up, but I'll let you talk a little bit about Jalen Green.
One of the cleanest shot charts in the NBA. Granted, it's not much corner action going on. It's all above the break and at the rim. He has found a way to finally, like, you said it perfectly. Like, the game's coming to him. He's not forcing anything. He is not, like, he doesn't look like anything isn't supposed to be happening. Like how it used to look like, oh, he's just trying to do too much. He's trying to do this, do that. Like, in terms of his feet, like his shot attempts, he's 34% of his shots are coming at the rim, which is great. 26 from mid, which is acceptable. And then 41 coming from three, with 37% of the 41 being non-corner threes, which isn't great. But with their offense and like the way he plays, it makes sense. But the point that he's attacking the rim more and not settling as much is fantastic for him. I think defensively he's been really active. I think he knows when to go and like when to find his and also when to get other people involved. Like, it's finally all coming together. I think having guys like Fred VanVleet and even Dillon Brooks on the roster helps a ton with like just being able to see them do the right things. Even like Reggie Bullock and stuff like that, like they have those older guys mixed in, and it's good examples for guys like Jabari and Jalen and all that young crew that just like looked like I don't even know what even word to use they looked like last year. But these last 9 games have been. This last month has been great basketball by Jalen, great basketball by the team. But I think a big reason why they're successful is that Jalen Green looks like the guy who we thought he'd look like coming out of the draft. It's finally clicking.
Yeah. So he's a big part, but also these other contributions. Fred VanVleet's been playing solid all year. It just kind of was never highlighted because they were struggling for majority of the year. But he's been a bright spot for them. also a few games during the stretch. I mean, they kind of found it in the Phoenix game a little bit, but then also now they have to go to it because of the injury to Sengun. But Jock Landale has been looking
He's been
phenomenal.
great.
His high energy guy off the bench. So that's been he's provided a spark for them
He's
outside of
been
the
great.
starting lineup on both ends on the glass. He had his career high night with 17 points, 12 rebounds, and 5 assists against the Raptors. No, against the Bulls, sorry, against the Bulls. So he's been really good. Dylan Brooks, like you said, those vet guys have really stuck to their role, and now it's kind of just the young guys coming along a little bit more. And that's really helped. But another thing that they're kind of found, I want to move to the defensive end for a little bit. Their defense has been, like I said, they got the sixth defensive rating over these last 9 games. They've been very, very good on the defensive end, which has been a struggle for most of the year with them. The young guys just couldn't seem to figure out that concept, but with an Ime Udoka team, that's what's going to come. But now without Sengun, they have the luxury of having all these young athletic guys, so they could switch basically 1 through 5. But one thing that really stuck out to me was how they do that while kind of hiding Fred VanVleet. So one play that like stayed in mind was against Utah early in the game. I think Fred VanVleet switched on to John Collins, I believe. And backside, it was a young, I think it was Amen Thompson or Smith, one of the two. They pulled VanVleet out of there to get that mismatch away, and VanVleet ran to the corner to Johnny Juzang. Just that communication and rotation on the backside was something really impressive, especially for a team this young. And them being good on the defensive end allows them to run and get out, which has been their best offense. So, yeah, that's like defensively, it's been very, very impressive, especially what they found without Sengun.
It's what the Celtics did. You got like Ime is still doing his thing. We're switching a ton. We're gonna try to keep the five at the rim. Everyone else, if we have a mismatch, we'll hit out of it. Like gap blitz out of it if we have a mismatch on the ball. If it's off the ball, we'll scram them off. We'll try to keep the big as the low man. Like it's all those same principles, but because of how athletic this group is, they're able to turn that into offense because there's so much more activity on the perimeter now. Like you gotta think like Dylan Brooks, Amen Thompson, and say Jalen Green. You got them three guys running around defensively. That's 10 times more active than what you have in Boston when he made there. It was Marcus Smart, and then who else were you relying on to play defense consistently? Other than
Jaylen
Robert
Brown.
Williams at the rim, Jaylen Brown's not consistent though. You know what I mean? It's like you got three guys there. Like you can even go to Reggie Bullock coming off the bench. Reggie Bullock is a 3-and-D guy. Like he's gonna go in and know his job is to help get stops and knock down open threes. Like he's getting paid for that. And I think that finally, like Ime was finally able to get his defense installed, and now it's just clicking at a high level. Yeah. I think Jock adds a level too. Like you talked about him, like you don't have to necessarily worry about him staying at the rim, but he can be more active in ball screen coverage because he is more mobile. So he gives a different layer. I want to show some numbers on lineups. So out of their top, like, I think that's 10 lineups. Five, six, seven lineups. There is two or three without Sengun in at the five. Okay. One is Fred, Jalen, Amen Thompson, Dylan Brooks, and Jabari Smith. which has been huge for them offensively. Like, that is their offensive unit now. They have a 138 offensive rating together. And then they have the Fred, Jalen, Amen, Dylan, and then Jock Landale group, who has been their best defensive lineup based on the entire season. So it just shows how that one switch opens up a lot more for them on either side of the ball. I think that you talked about Jock, but I'll talk more about Jabari. Like, Jabari is finally comfortable. He's getting better at every aspect of the game. Like, all of his numbers have shot up. I was talking to a coach yesterday about him, actually. And it's interesting to see his numbers because he's jumped, like, he went from 30% from three to 35% from three. Like, that jump is massive and it opens up so much more space for them. They play that five out. We're going to do a quick action and go. Like, they're trying to play pretty quick. And it's shown in their half court. Like, if it's not a ball screen, the action's coming quick. It's quick pistols, quick into horns, quick staggers. They're just playing that simple one action and we're going. Like, it's going to be read react from there. And guys are playing good basketball together, and a guy like Jabari Smith opens up the floor for them. Same with Jock Landale. It's just like you're able to trust that guy with the ball in his hands to knock down a shot and also play make. But yeah. We can talk
Yeah,
more
no.
about offense later, but I just wanted to dive into those lineups a little.
Yeah, no, that's really all I had for the defensive side. So you want to go into some like actions and stuff that they're doing?
Yeah, it's like what I was saying, it's just like a lot of to like from a philosophical standpoint, you can tell that they're relying on defense a lot to turn into offense. Because when they go down on offense, they're pushing it. And it's like they're trying to use their offense to not allow you to push and like grind you down on defense. The main like actions, I would say it all ends up in some sort of ball screen, whether it's a delay, whether it's a just even a pistol. Like, a pistol is a ball screen. You're going horns, you're going pistol, you're going a drag, you're going ram actions, you're going. They got some staggers where there's forced curls trying to just get a step up ball screen at the top of it. Like, there's nothing complicated about what they do at that end of the floor. They just put guys in spots to go make plays. Like, if it's pistol, you're having a shooter set the screen. If it's horns, you can even go an elbow touch and do a split away type deal or a Denver action like a Jamal Murray, the back screen get. Like stuff like that. Like, it's all just set up kind of personnel heavy. And you got to think when you look at this roster, there's not many guys you don't trust with the ball in their hands to play make. You know what I mean? Like, even Dylan Brooks, like, you can put him in a ball screen and he'll make the right play most time. Like, you can trust him. You can trust Jalen Green. You can trust Fred VanVleet's one of the best point guards in the pick and roll. Amen Thompson can make a play downhill. Like, they're so guard heavy with what they can do. They got a good bunch of shooters from Reggie Jack, Reggie Bullock to they got the Holiday brother. They got who else is shooting it? Wait one sec, I got this pulled up. Holiday, Fred VanVleet's used as a screener a little bit. Dylan Brooks is used as a ram screener sometimes. I know Tari Eason's hurt, but he was shooting it well. Jabari Smith's shooting it well. Like, they are able to use their personnel in a variety of ways because they are so like versatile. Like, across the board, like, even the bigs, like, Jock could shoot it. He's shooting not well this year, but you know he can. Sagoon's a 30% 3-point guy. He doesn't take a lot of them. They just have a talented bunch and they're able to do simple actions because everyone's able to like make plays out of it and be in different spots, mix up the defense that way rather than trying to run complex stuff and create confusion. It's more like, oh, we're just going to put guys here and here, figure it out. Like, we're going to read and react to you. It's not going to be overcomplicated on our end.
Yeah, no, that's what I was gonna say. It's not like I wasn't the biggest fan of their half court offense. But
Because they
it's
don't.
just simple. They don't do anything. It's
They.
just like you
Yeah.
said, it's like just get to a ball screen and then read off of what they do. Get people different people in the action, but it's nothing crazy. If they have a mismatch, they'll go to it, but
The
and then
main
you got
thing's the
shooters
pace.
backside.
It's the pace
Yeah,
that they're
it's
doing
yeah.
everything with. Like you started off with that, and that's how they have the second best offense over the last 2 weeks. It's just their ability to play with pace. And the defense, you're not going to be quick enough to react.
Watching the NBA more, like watching more teams. Not many teams play with crazy pace, but everybody struggles with it. That's kind of one thing. Like, I mean,
Because
there's
you
obviously
know how
you can't do
hard
it
it
for
is?
82. You can't do it
It's
for 82.
hard.
Yeah, you can't do it for 48 minutes, 82 games. But like these young teams.
I'll say this though too. It's hard to do it for 82, but it's hard to win a playoff series that way also. I don't think
But
you're
you
going to win
could
a
use it.
playoff series based on pace. They'll win a playoff series because it's hard to guard them. Just straight, they have so many dudes that they can put in so
Yeah,
many spots.
and they could run.
And they're playing high level defense. Like, I don't think they're necessarily going to win because of their pace, though. Like, I don't think the pace is going to be something when it comes down to a 7-game series. Like, you're going to do whatever you can to get rid of those easy, quick buckets. But I don't think that you're going to have like that as a primary issue. Because the game slows down in the playoffs. You got to make plays in the half court in the playoffs. You got to be good in special situations, blobs and slobs. You got to be able to just be able to make those plays. And I think those plays will come because they're able to mix up so much where guys are at.
Do you think they got 11 games left? A few games, 2 games against the Mavericks, game against the Thunder, play Miami, they play Orlando, play the Timberwolves, play the Clippers. Do you think this is sustainable and they make the play-in?
I think it matters more who the other team's got. You know what I
You but
mean?
like
Like,
they're
I think they're playing better
they
ball than the
are
Warriors right
11 they
now.
are 11 they are 11-1 in March. They're
That's
11 and one.
sustainable. If you play that well for a month, it's sustainable. It's like
They
more
have
so.
11 more games. Do you think they go at least 8-2 or 7-3? Or sorry, 7-4, 8-3.
I bet that they get at least six.
Do you think six gets them into the play-in?
I think that they're playing better than the Warriors right now.
They're
Warriors had a
playing
great
better,
game
but do you
last night, but I think that they're playing better than the Warriors right now.
Think they go 6-5 in this last 11, and that could get them in?
I bet that the
They do have a
Warriors,
game against the Warriors too. That's going to be a big
that's
game
a huge game. They get
on the
that
fourth.
game, and then it's up to whatever happens after that, you know?
It is. Do you have anything else on the Rockets?
I hope that they get a play-in game because they're playing a really good brand of basketball and they deserve some recognition. And if that means the Warriors are out, they're out. Like, the
Do
Warriors have been
you
so inconsistent all year long that at this point it's.
Okay, say they get in and they play the Lakers. Do you think they beat the Lakers?
No.
You don't think they beat LA?
I just watched the first half of the game from last night, the Lakers Bucks, and they
Without
didn't have
LeBron.
Braun, and I was impressed with that second quarter. Like, the poise that they had, they were down big in the first quarter. The poise that they had to cut that lead, and they did it by physicality, good defense, playing smart offense, paint points. Like, it wasn't like a flimsy, oh, we came back and knocked down like five threes and we're back in the game. It wasn't like that. It was, we're going to dominate these 8 to 12 minutes and get ourselves back in this game. And then they ended up winning a double OT. But I think that the Lakers have that switch. I just think the Lakers have a bunch that's done it before. They've been deep in the playoffs last year. Like when the Lakers look good, they look really good. And I think that they can flip a switch. I think having LeBron James also, like, it's going to be tough for Houston to win that game. Do you agree? Disagree?
I disagree. I think they beat LA.
Interesting.
It'd be a great game, but I think they beat LA.
Who matches up with AD? You're saying Sengun gets him?
Sengun's coming back, so I would say Sengun, but I think Jabari could handle his own.
I think AD would put him in the rim.
Maybe.
I think AD would
But
struggle
also, you
against
have.
him. He's Sengun's big enough.
Yeah, he would. But.
Like AD would have to work versus Sengun. I don't think he got to work against Jabari.
Do you think Sengun coming back might mess up that rhythm?
I bet that they get worse defensively a little, but I bet offensively they probably get better in the half court.
Really good. He's playing some. Stop looking at your little callus thing on your hair. He was playing phenomenal basketball before he got hurt.
Yeah, he was. He was.
Yeah. But do you have anything else to add about the Rockets?
Nah, I'm just excited to see how they keep going. Like what they keep doing because I enjoyed watching that film on them.
Yeah, no, they're fun. They're a very fun team. Let's keep it in the West a little bit. We'll talk a little bit more. I was talking to you about this earlier. How do you feel that there is a possibility that we can get 6 to 7 teams with 50 wins in the Western Conference? Because there's two teams right now with 50 wins, the Nuggets and Thunder. The Timberwolves have 49, then 44 for both the Clippers and Pelicans, and Dallas has 43 with 11 games remaining for most of them. Dallas is a bit
That's
of a stretch.
insane. For the West being so deep, you wouldn't think that May would get 50.
Well, is the West really deep? Because the last three teams just got beat up on, except for San Antonio with the Suns, apparently. But the last three teams got beat up on, oh, last four teams really got beat up on. And then the bottom of the East is
There's 13
atrocious.
playoff teams in the West.
13? You're adding Utah to the playoff?
12. Wait, 8.
11, or you're adding, yeah,
Yeah,
no, that
13.
would be.
Because Houston's 13.
Houston's 11.
Am I
There's
tripping?
10 teams in the
Oh,
playoff.
because 7-8, 7-8, 7-8. My bad, my bad, my bad. See how bad I am right now? That's a bad
Yeah,
one.
you're
That's a
rusty.
bad
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. This is a nice little podcast to start. We'll let you focus on one team, and then the next week you gotta expand your horizons a little bit.
I think, yeah, 11 teams in the West, though. They're a
Eleven. There's
playoff
11
teams.
teams that could be a playoff team. Yeah.
That's a
So
lot.
just to wait a second. Just for context, for those who don't know. So last year, there was only two teams with 50 wins, the Nuggets and the Grizzlies in the West. The sixth seed right now, or the sixth seed last year was 44 and 38, which was the Warriors. The sixth seed right now has 44 wins with 10 games remaining. The 10th seed in the play-in was the Thunder with 40 wins. Everybody in the playoff except for the Warriors and Rockets, which are fighting, have 40 wins right now with 10 games remaining. Nuggets are 2 games away from having the same win total as they did last year.
And they're going to get that. Do you want to talk about a team
They're
who's hot?
definitely going to get that.
They're running it back. I know that they're going to.
Until tonight. Watch
Relax.
out for them Phoenix boys.
That'll be a good game.
No,
I'm going to lock in.
Bradley Beal and Nurkic probably aren't going to play.
What?
Beal dislocated his finger. Beal probably will play, but Nurkic like sprained his ankle.
You guys need a win though.
Nurkic sprained his ankle. He's not going to
Well,
play.
okay, Nurk doesn't play, but
We
you need a win.
haven't won without Nurkic this year. We're 0-3. And when Nurkic gets hurt, we suck. We lose when Nurkic gets hurt mid-game. I don't think there's been a game that we've won when Nurkic got hurt mid-game either. And when Nurkic doesn't play, we're 0-3.
Denver's
And
gonna
we're
win
playing
tonight,
Jokic.
but it's
It's not going to be a good game.
I'm excited. It's always a
Could be a
it's a tough
blowout.
matchup.
Because the Suns built their team to beat the Nuggets.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup. That's why I enjoy watching it because it's just interesting.
Nice. Nice. You got to do some editing on this podcast now, too?
Yeah, I have to
What?
edit the podcast. Now you could tell how much I love the guys.
Oh wow. You gotta edit the podcast? No, but that's just crazy to me, the standings. Now in the East last year there was four teams with 50 wins.
There
And
was.
there's probably gonna be four teams this year with 50 wins.
How close are the Magic? Fill me
Never
in.
mind, there's gonna be three teams. The Magic are 42-29. So they would be 8 wins away from 50.
That's huge.
That's not gonna happen. That's what
No, I'm just saying
for
it's
sure.
huge. It's huge.
Yeah, they've been playing very good. Maybe we could talk about the Magic a little bit next podcast. Would that make you happy? Did you
Yes.
see the end of the Kings Magic game? So De'Aaron Fox got the ball at half court, like last possession. It's a tied game. And he got bumped a little bit, and the guy, I forget who was guarding him, but he got bumped when he caught the ball and the guy backed up. And Fox was like leaning at half court for like 2, 3 seconds and then like caught his balance and was gonna go back and they called a foul. Like it was like 3 seconds after anything happened.
Really?
I was like, what?
Wow.
It
They do hate the
was
Magic. They
it
don't
was crazy.
believe.
They've had off since Saturday. They got 4 days off.
Who, the Magic?
The last time they played was Saturday. It's Wednesday.
Good for them. You know what we need? We need the Heat to win some games.
No, we need the Suns to win some games. Oh well. But good first podcast back.
I gotta
Welcome
do some
back to
editing. Welcome back.
welcome
Welcome
back
back
to
to
the
your own
NBA Live.
podcast.
Yeah, so
But thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed as we talked about the Houston Rockets and their recent success. Make sure to check us out. Check out recent podcasts, not so recent, but past podcasts. Check us out on Instagram and Twitter. But until next time.